ありジャヤラタマダバクンジャビハリゴピジャナバラバギリバラタリGopi Janavallabha Giribaradhari Jashodanandana VrajajanaranchanaYashodanandana Vrajajanaranjana Jamunatira VannachariJamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Vallabha Giribara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janna Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janna Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vannachari Jamuna Tira Vannachari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare HareHare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
Jaya Vishnupada Paramahamsa Priyavraja Kacharya Stotara Sita Shishimad, His Divine Grace.A.C. Bhakti Padanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga Hari Hari Bol Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam namaskritya Naram chaiva narottamam Devim sarasvatim vyasam Tato jayam udirayet Idam bhagavatam nama Puranam brahma samhitam Uttama shloka charitam Chikara bhagavan rishi Nikshreyasaya lokasya Tanyam swastayanam mahat. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 30, verse number 11. Please repeat. Apyena patnya pagata priyaye hagatrais. Tanvan drishang saki sunir ritim achyuto vaha. Kantanga sanga kuchakun kumaranjitaya. Kundas raja kulapateri havati gandha. Abhyena patnyu pagata priyaye hagatrais. Tanvan drishang saki sunir ritam achyuto vaha. Kantanga sanga kucha kumkum ranjitaya. Kundas raja kulapateri havati gandha.
Yena patyam nupagata priya yeha gatrais.
Abhyena patnyu pagata priya yeha gatrais.
Tanvan drishang sakisu nivritim achyutava.
Tanvan drishang sakisu nivritim achyutava.
Kantanga sanga kucha kumkuma ranjitaya.
Kantanga sanga kucha kumkuma ranjitaya.
Kundas raja kulapateri havati gandha.
Kundas raja kulapateri havati gandha. Apyena patnyu pagata priyaye hagatrais. Tanvan drishang saki sunir ritam achyuto vaha. Kantanga sanga kucha kun kumaranchitaya. Kundas raja kulapateri havati gandha. Abhyena patnyu pagata priyaye hagatrais. Tanvan drishang saki sunivritam achyuto vaha. Kantanga sanga kucha kumkum ranjitaya. Kundas raja kulapateri havati gandha. Ladies. Apyena patnyu pagata priyaye hakatrais. Tanvan drishang saki sunivritam achyuto vaha. Kantanga sanga kucha kumkum ranjitaya. Kundas raja kulapateri havati gandha.
Abhyena patyupakata priyayeha katrais. Tanvandrishang sakisunirvritam achyutova. Kantanga sanga kuchakumkuma ranchitaya. Kundas rajat kulapateri havati gandha. Abhyena patyupagata priyayeha katrais. Tanvandrishang sakisunivritam achyutovaha. Kantanga sanga kuchakunkuma ranjitaya. Kundas rajah kulapateri havati gandha. Word meanings. Api, weather. Ena, of the deer. Patni, O wife. Upagataha, has been encountered. Priyaya, together with his beloved. Iha, here. Gatrahi, by his bodily limbs. Tanvan, producing. Drisham, of the eyes. Sakhi, O friend. Sunivritim, great pleasure. Achyutaha, the infallible Lord Krishna. Vaha, your. Kanta, of his girlfriend. Angasanga, because of the physical contact. Kucha, on the breast. Kunkuma, by the vermilion powder. Ranjitayaha, colored. Kunda, of jasmine flowers. Srajaha, of the garland. Kula, of the group of gopis. Patehe, of the master. Iha, around here. Vati, is going. Gandhaha, the fragrance. Translation. O friend, wife of the deer, has Lord Achyuta been here with his beloved, bringing great joy to your eyes? Indeed, blowing this way is the fragrance of his garland of kunda flowers, which was smeared with the kunkum from the breasts of his girlfriend when he embraced her. Please repeat. O friend, wife of the deer, has Lord Achyuta been here, with his beloved, bringing great joy to your eyes? Indeed, blowing this way is the fragrance of his garland of kunda flowers, which was smeared with the kunkuma from the breasts of his girlfriend when he embraced her. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti provides the following charming commentary on this verse. The gopis spoke to a doe, O friend, wife of the deer, from the bliss in your clear eyes, we can tell that Sri Krishna has expanded your joy with the beauty of his limbs, his face, and so forth. You are eager to realize the ecstasy of seeing Krishna, and thus your eyes are following him. In fact, he is never lost to you. Then the gopis, seeing the doe continue to walk in her natural way, exclaimed, Oh, you are telling us that you have seen Krishna? Look, as this deer walks, she constantly turns her head back to us, as if to say, I will show him to you. Just follow me and I will show you Krishna. In this merciless Vrindavan, she is the only merciful person. As the gopis follow the doe, they happen to lose sight of her, and they cry out, Oh, why can't we see the deer who is showing us the way to Krishna? One gopi suggests that Krishna must be somewhere in the vicinity, and that the deer, being afraid of him, must have hidden herself to avoid the possible mistake of revealing his presence. Conjecturing in this way, the gopis detect a fragrance that has by chance blown their way, and they repeatedly declare with great joy, "Yes, yes, that is it." By Krishna's physical contact with his girlfriend, his jasmine garland was smeared with the kumkuma powder on her breasts, and the fragrance of all these things are reaching us. Thus the gopis smelled the aroma of the two lovers' bodies of Krishna's jasmine garland and of the cosmetic powder on the breasts of his lover. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kata Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Acha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupang Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitang Tang Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shrivashakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindho, Dina Bandho, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namostute, Tapta Kanchana, Gaurangi, Radhe, Vrindavaneshwari, Rishabhanu, Sute, Devi, Pranamami, Hari, Priye, Jaya, Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Shri Advaita, Gadadhar, Shivasari, Gaura, Bhakta, Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's so nice to be with you all here today, again in Vrindavan, in the song, Ohe Vaishnava Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, Eka ki amar nahi pai bolo, Harinama Sankirtan. We can't perform the Sankirtan alone. We don't have the strength, he says. It's actually Sankirtan is a community activity. It's to attract everyone to glorify Krishna, and we do it together. Lord Chaitanya taught that there are five specially of the different activities of devotional service, 64 principles. There are five that are very, very potent. To chant the Hare Krishna mantra, to worship the deity, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, and to associate with devotees, and to live in a holy place like Vrindavan. So here we are in Vrindavan, this holy place, which is filled with wonderful devotees of Krishna, including wildlife, deer, and birds and bulls and cows and so many different varieties of pious trees that bear fruits and fragrant flowers, and creepers, different things. In this prayer to the Six Goswami, Srinivasacharya writes, Kujat Kokila Hangsa Sarasa Gana Kirne Mayura Kule. Somehow that part of the verse never gets translated, but it's about these different birds, like the Kokila is a cuckoo bird and Mayura, of course, is peacocks. There are families of these different birds, ducks and swans, hangsas, and so forth. So the gopis love Vrindavan. We know from the past time when the Vrijvasis met Krishna in Kurukshetra, they weren't satisfied to see Krishna there. They were glad to see Krishna, but they wanted to bring him back to the holy place of Vrindavan. They can't live anywhere else. And this holy place is full of variety, imbued with a special Madhurya rasa. So some Vaishnava poets who are not Gaudiya Vaishnavas may sing about how they're only Krishna for them and there's no one else. They're just they and Krishna alone. But we understand that, in fact, I've always considered that might be tinged with a little impersonalism, the sense that non-duality means that I can't see any variety of other devotees. But in Vrindavan, Krishna is worshipped with all variety.
Now, in this verse, we get the first reference to Srimati Radharani, that the gopis are now saying, they've been asking the trees, where is Krishna, the creepers, the earth, but now they're saying he must be with his girlfriend. We can smell the fragrance of his garland mixed with the fragrance of the kunkum on her breasts. The word priyataya, what is it? Excuse me. Priyayeha, priyaya, priyaya, together with his beloved iha, here. So the doe has these big eyes, and they can see that this doe is in ecstasy because she must have been in the presence of Krishna. And then they can smell the fragrance, and they know in their search for Krishna that Krishna must have been here. We have transcendental senses in our original spiritual bodies. Of course, in our material bodies, we have material senses, and different kinds of bodies have different kinds of senses. You know, bats can use echolocation to catch insects, and cats can see things, or dogs can smell things that we can't smell. But in our spiritual bodies, we have transcendental senses, and Krishna can be perceived not just by seeing him, of course, but by hearing his flute, by hearing him, touching him and smelling him, and the gopis can detect Krishna's nearby by this transcendental olfactory sense of the fragrance of Krishna. So Krishna is the absolute truth. He's non-dual. Srila Prabhupada, in the beginning of the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, he talks about the distinction between the concept of Ishvara, or God, and the concept of Parameshvara, or the absolute truth. The Christian and Islamic religions, which are very popular throughout the world, they have a sense of God as a person, big boss, but they don't concern themselves with the science of God, of how he's unchanging, how he's non-dual, how he's equipoised, all these different things which the Vedic philosophers of India have studied in great detail. And we understand that Krishna, although he's one, in one sense, everything, he's everything, because by the expanse of his, everything comes from him. He's the origin of everything. By the expanse of his energies, which are non-different from him, he encompasses everything. Just like the sun includes the sunshine, which goes everywhere, is the example that's often given. But at the same time, Krishna maintains his own independent position as the master of these different energies. And he can use the energies in different ways as he likes. The Mayavadis are concerned that if there's variety and if there's transformations of then God wouldn't be absolute. He wouldn't be unchanging. He wouldn't be the one non-dual truth. So they reject the philosophy of Parinamavad, which is that God's energies transformation, that God can transform his energies. He can use them in different ways. So they say sarva kalvidam brahma. That's correct. Actually, everything is Brahman. There's Brahman as the supreme Brahman. There's Brahman as the jivas. There's Brahman as the field of activities that the jivas are trying to control, and then the Parameshwara, Param Brahman, is the factual controller of both of them. There's a verse in the Upanishads, Prabhupada quotes in the purport to chapter 13, verse number 3, Bhokta Bhogyang Preritrarang Chamatva Sarvang Proktam Trividham Brahmam Etat, which basically means that there has to be distinctions between even though the absolute truth is non-dual, there's distinctions between the supreme Brahman and the individual jivas, who are always infinitesimal in comparison to his infinite quality. In the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, so in the seventh chapter, Krishna begins by saying, everything is resting on me like pearls are strung on a thread. I'm the taste of water. I'm the sound in ether. These are the elements that each of the gross elements are associated with a specific sense object and sense. So the taste of water, because water is associated with the sense of taste. They're also associated with a particular demigod, Adidaiva. So there's Adibhuta, which is the elements themselves, Adiatma, which is the senses and the mind and the sense of self, and the Adidaivaka, the Supreme Lord who acts through his different agents to make perception possible. So there's this oneness, and in the ninth chapter, Krishna explains that the Mahatmas, they worship him. They're always chanting his glories, bowing down to him in great ecstasy. There are other jnanis. They see him as the universal form, as the impersonal Brahman, or as the pantheon of Vedic devas. But then he says, but I am really everything. I'm the sacrifice. I'm the clarified butter. I'm the offering. I'm the healing herb. I'm the mantra. I give forth and withhold the rain. I'm death personified. All these things. He says that those who worship other devas with bhakti, they're actually worshiping me, but in a wrong way. The actual regular principle is that Krishna is the Lord of all sacrifices. Lord Vishnu is to be propitiated in your Indra puja or whatever puja you're doing. You have to understand that Krishna is the Lord and enjoyer and of the sacrifices. But if you don't know Krishna in his tattva, then you fall down. If you worship other gods, you go to those gods. But if you worship Krishna, you go to Krishna. So this is the most confidential knowledge, that by bhakti, he will accept the offerings of his devotees and that everything is meant for his enjoyment. So here we see how Krishna pervades the entire world, but the foolish people say, well, Krishna's everything, therefore why should I go to the temple? Why should I worship Krishna? One time I was distributing books in Santa Cruz, and a man said, why do I need to read the Bhagavad Gita? Krishna is everything. He's that tree. And I looked, and it was a very magnificent tree. But I was saying, you know, yes, but do you see Krishna in that tree, or are you just really seeing a tree? But this is the essence. We have to really see Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada says, you know, Krishna is everything, but not everything is Krishna. In other words, that we can be in Maya by turning our backs on Krishna, and we see things that appear to be unconnected to Krishna, and rather than seeing Krishna everywhere. The gopis praise the doe that Krishna is never lost to her. She sees him everywhere. You know, Krishna says in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, what's the verse about? One who sees everything in me and sees me in everything is never lost to me. Say the beginning. Yomang pashyati sarvatra sarvang chamayi pashyati tasyam na pranashyami sachamena pranashyati. So, anyway, today is, I've been asked to speak about two things. One thing is, today is the appearance day of Radha Damodar deities. Shishi Radha Damodar appeared today. They were personally carved by Jiva Goswami and then entrusted to personally carved by Rupa Goswami and entrusted to Jiva Goswami in about the year 1542. So some 480 something years ago. And they're still being worshipped today. We know, of course, that Srila Prabhupada resided in a room at the Radha Damodar temple. All the devotees should go visit. And from 1959 until 1965. So then he got on the Jaladuta in that year, 1965. So he was really staying there. Within, from his room, you could see the Samadhi of Rupa Goswami. And he said that he felt, as he was actually writing the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam there, that he felt the guidance and the presence of Rupa Goswami. And in that sense, in many places, that Radha Damodar temple there is, you know, a birthplace of ISKCON, because this Srimad Bhagavatam is what Prabhupada brought with him on the Jaladuta, or he had some cases come later, but this was his, you know, his magnum opus that he was writing, Srimad Bhagavatam. And there was an early class, if you listen to the recordings of Srila Prabhupada, which everyone should, a very early class. I think some of the people are students of Dr. Mishra, but he's talking about Vrindavan. And someone asks him about whether the holy places have a special power, and of course they do, and we can all feel here in Vrindavan. We may not see the real Vrindavan where all the trees, roots, at least I don't see how they're filled with valuable gems, and you know, I still, there's a covering. I see a lot of cars and motor rickshaws, cacophony of honking and all this other sort of covering, but actually we can feel this very powerful presence of, you know, Krishna, Radha Krishna, the gopis, the cowherd boys, Mother Yashoda, the elderly gopas and gopis. This is their place. Krishna performs the Rasa Leela in Seva Kunj, right by the Radha Damodar temple. So Srila Prabhupada, they ask if he's missing Vrindavan. At least, I don't remember exactly all the words, but I remember the word that he says, yes, I'm always thinking of Vrindavan, that's my home place, but I am in duty bound, he said. I am in duty bound that I've been sent here by my spiritual master to give this message of Lord Chaitanya to you people here in New York. So we can't expect to see the real Vrindavan just by our own endeavor. We can only see, in fact, we were talking the other day about work now, samadhi later, or deserve, then desire. Bhakti Siddhanta emphasized that Krishna is the seer and we are the seen. He said that don't try to see Krishna, but try to behave in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. Actually, we can only see Vrindavan by the mercy of the spiritual master. The whole process of Krishna consciousness depends on carrying out the orders and pleasing the spiritual master. So then the spiritual master is always ready to bestow mercy on the disciple, but the disciple has to be qualified to have his heart pure, a receptive place to receive that mercy. So we will see Vrindavan when our senses become pure by our devotional service and how we're engaged in different ways by the expert spiritual master. Atakshri Krishna Namadi Nabaved Grayam Indriyai Sevan Mukhe Hijibado Swayam Evas Puratyataha. Then our spiritual senses will, and many of you, I'm sure, can start to feel the sense, just like we can feel the power of this place and the sweetness of this place, we can start to feel that by the awakening of our spiritual senses, by pleasing the spiritual master, studying the books left to us by Srila Prabhupada. So today is also the holy disappearance day of Sri Ramanujacharya. Sri Ramanujacharya was born in approximately, or what we say as the year 1017. I say approximately, the Vedic calendar, they keep things very carefully with the titis and everything. But the Western calendar has changed a few times from Gregorian to Georgian to Julian or whatever. And so that's why I say approximately, but apparently it's in the year 1017 They know the date that he was born. They know the constellations that were there. And he passed away around 120 years later. I have some notes on him, but basically, there was a wonderful book by Naimasharanya Das. I believe he's one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, an ISKCON devotee who was a teacher, Gurukula teacher, and he wrote a book compiling things from the Sri Vaishnava, stories about Ramanujacharya, about Alabandar, Jamunacharya, which was his guru, and about his disciples and many different things. He was at a young age, I don't know, young teenager or something like that, he was put in charge of a Mayavadi teacher. The Shankaracharya school was all-pervading at that time. Everybody was following. But there were, of course, great devotees in Tamil Nadu, great Alvar poets and so forth. But the official teacher that he went to was named Yadava, I think, Yadavacharya. But he was very bright, and the teacher liked him very much, and the teacher asked him to massage his body with oil. And another disciple came and asked the teacher some question about some Upanishad or something, and the teacher began explaining it in a way that was very offensive to the personality of Godhead, because he was a Mayavadi, and Mayavadis offend the personality of Godhead. They always want to deny that he has any form, or he has any, they, like we have form and intentions, will and senses and stuff, but they want to cut off the limbs of Krishna and say that he has less than we do. So when Ramanujacharya heard that, he couldn't tolerate it. And his eyes started burning with hot tears. And the tears fell on his teacher, and the teacher realized something was upsetting him and asked him what the problem was. And he very boldly said, you're speaking in an obnoxious way and offending the personality of Godhead. And the teacher was a Mayavadi, so he was, no, you've got it wrong. There is no personality. Ultimately, God is formless and without qualities. And so a couple more times there were these confrontations, and the teacher expelled Ramanujacharya. You won't learn, expelled him from his class. So Ramanujacharya started becoming very popular, opened his own school where all the devotees started coming. And the people started becoming converted, and the teacher was concerned that he's going to ruin everything, and he's going to take away all my students, and he's going to make everybody Vaishnavas, So he had a plan to kill him. He and his disciples, invited Ramanujacharya to go with them to Banaras, to go to the Ganges and take bath there. And their plan was they would drown him there. And one of his, he was going along with others. One of his disciples, Govinda, someone let him in on the plan. So he warned Ramanujacharya. So Ramanujacharya left. And then he was out in the woods somewhere very far away from his home. He was from Kanchipuram. And he was, very far away from South India even. And he was wondering how he would find his way home. And then he rested and had a dream of Sita and Rama. They said they would show him the way home. And then when he woke up, he was right back on the outskirts of his town. So there are a lot of wonderful stories about Ramanujacharya. Navadvipa Mahatmya is a wonderful book written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And in that book, Lord Nityananda is taking Jiva Goswami to the different holy places around the Dham of Navadvipa. And in that book, let me find the right page because I have some different things. But in that book, Lord Nityananda tells stories about how the four Vaishnavacharyas, Madhvacharya, Nimbarka Swami, Ramanujacharya, and Vishnu Swami, how they all, I think they all came to special places within Navadvip Dham at some point or another, and got darshan of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya told him to keep it a secret and don't tell everybody about me. You're preparing my way, the way for me. But Ramanujacharya had pleased Lord Jagannath with many prayers in Puri. And the Lord appeared to him and told him, go to Navadvip Dham, where I will again appear in the house of Jagannath Mishra, and go there without your disciples and see Lord Gauranga. So Lord Gauranga then met with him, and he got darshan of Lord Gauranga and internally became a devotee of Lord Gauranga. But Gauranga told him, you preach the Dasya Rasa. I promise you will appear again in Chaitanya Leela. So he did appear in with Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as Sri Ananta, the devotee named Sri Ananta. Also, Vishnu Swami appeared, of course, as Vallabhavata, the founder of the Pushtimarg sect. Was actually Lord Chaitanya's friend Vallabhavatacharya, who was already worshipping him, 600 years earlier or whatever, as Vishnu Swami. So the Lord Nityananda mentions that each of the four Sampradaya Acharyas gave two things, contributed two contributions to the ultimate conclusion of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And Nimbarka in the Sampradaya of the Four Kumars actually gave exclusive shelter of Radharani. Of the four Vaishnava Sampradayas, they're the ones who emphasized Radhika and the exalted mood of the gopis' love. Vishnu Swami... I made a mistake. I said Nimbarka came as Vallabhacharya, but of course it was Vishnu Swami from the Rudra Sampradaya, wasn't it? I'm a little confused now. I apologize. But Vishnu Swami taught total dependence on Krishna and Raga Mark, the principle of spontaneous bhakti. Madhvacharya completely defeated Mayavadi philosophy, and he contributed the worship of the deity of Krishna and how the deity itself was eternal manifestation of Krishna. And so Ramanujacharya, he contributed these two things: unalloyed devotion, free from jnana and karma, and service to the devotees. So service to the devotees is very important in the Sri Vaishnava sect, and there's so many beautiful stories of their wonderful character of how to serve the devotees. I said before that Ramanujacharya was a disciple of Sri Jamunacharya. There's a whole story about how Sri Jamunacharya, he was a grandson of one of the Tamil Alvar poets, Natamuni, I think. Or maybe it was, anyway, I'm not sure exactly who his grandfather was. But he was, I won't tell the story, it would take too long, but he became a king. Because he defeated a king's pundit, and the king, the Pallava king, had bet with the with his favorite queen that if he can defeat my pundit, then I'll give him half my kingdom. And so he did defeat the pundit unexpectedly, and he became a king. But then disciples of his grandfather came and brought him back to give up, renounce his kingdom in a very charming way. And become the Acharya of Sri Rangam there in the temple of Lakshmi Narayan there. And when Jamunacharya was leaving this world, Ramanujacharya hurried to get there and be by his side. But he got there a little too late, and Jamunacharya's body was already there being prepared for funeral rites and so forth. And in his left hand he had this mudra, like a yogi mudra piece. His right hand was curled up like this, and Ramanujacharya asked the disciples who were more familiar, did he hold his hand in that way? Why is his hand this way? And they said, no, in natural life he never had this, you know, clenched fist like that. So then Ramanuja made three vows, and he said, I will preach the cult of devotional service all over, and for the people in general I will teach them that the importance of the personality of Godhead. And one of the fingers stuck, or actually one of these fingers stuck out, and then he said, I will prepare a commentary on Vedanta Sutra that establishes the truth of the Vaishnava principles. Then the other finger came. And then finally he said, out of respect and honor for Parashara Muni, who so nicely described the Vaishnava philosophy in ancient times, I will name a qualified disciple after Parashara Muni. And then those were the three vows, and the three fingers came out. He wrote not only the wonderful, the Sri Bhashya commentary on Vedanta, but he wrote a number of other important books. And his influence, he not just in Tamil Nadu, but all over India, and he's considered one of the great influences on Hinduism in the world. And we owe a great debt to Ramanujacharya. I have a lot of things to talk about, but it's getting a little late. Let me just give one more story. That in the Chola dynasty, there was a Mayavadi king who decided to either convert Ramanujacharya by force or to kill him. And a messenger came to invite him to debate in the king's court. But Ramanujacharya had a great disciple named Kuresh who said, I'm nervous about this, let me go in your place. So Kuresh dressed as a sannyasi, a Tridandi sannyasi, Ramanujacharya dressed as like a householder disciple, and the messenger took Kuresh and another disciple back to the palace of the king. And the king started to argue with them. I don't remember the exact details of the debate, but the king was very frustrated with Kuresh, and he said, these guys will never learn, and he had his soldiers arrest them and torture them. And the other disciple, actually, they killed Kuresh. They burned his eyes out with hot iron, and then they left him out in the forest to die. And but somehow or another, the local people were sympathetic with him, and he survived and was able to come back to Ramanujacharya, who then, by praying to Vishnu, Kuresh's eyesight was restored again miraculously. So there are so many stories that I wish I had that book. I think I still have it at my home. I've lent it out a couple times. By the life and associates of Ramanujacharya by Namasharanya Das, but it has so many stories. I'd like to let me conclude before I open it up for questions with my wife gave me yesterday a book that is by Prabodhananda Saraswati. Actually, Prabodhananda Saraswati, you may know, is the brother of Srimalabhatta and Venkatabhatta. Venkatabhatta is the father of Gopalabhatta Goswami. They were Sri Vaishnavas and Lord Chaitanya spent the 4 months of the rainy season in Rangakshetra and converted them to Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And Prabodhananda Dasvari has written many beautiful books, especially Sri Chaitanya Chandramrita. This book is Sri Vrindavana Mahimamrita, and it originally consisted of 100 of these, what do they call them? Shatakas. And each Shataka is like a chapter of 100 verses. So there was 100 chapters of 100 verses. Only 22 chapters remain. Only 17 were in print. This devotee, Bhumipati Das, translated them. I don't know if he's from here. He's here. It's a wonderful book. And I just picked out, because it was talking about the deer, I just picked out one verse from the book. That I'll just read the translation. That in the transcendental abode of Vrindavan, the trees, creepers, cows, deer, bumblebees, birds of many varieties serve Radha and Krishna by assisting in their divine pastimes. So this holy Vrindavan is such a wonderful place. May we pray that by pleasing our spiritual master, we'll eventually see the real Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada lived in Radha Damodar. It's definitely Srila Prabhupada's home. Srila Prabhupada said, Vrindavan is my home, Mayapur is my place of worship, and Bombay is my business office. But Srila Prabhupada was a true Brijvasi in every sense, even though we know he was born and raised in Calcutta. But he's an eternal associate of Krishna in Vrindavan, and he can give that position to us. This is our fervent prayer. So now I'll open it up for discussion, questions and answers. Comments, realizations?
We worship great acharyas, like Ravanuja, Rajacharya, but there's also so many wonderful spiritual personalities who may have not had, have been gone down in history as famous. So what's, and how do we not neglect those others who are not so famous? You know, we pick certain people to worship and emulate and just to appreciate their contribution to the spiritual enlightenment. But there are so many others. So how do we, we hear the Goswamis offer thousand faces, it's all the Vaishnavas.
Yeah.
If one worships a big Vaishnava, he gets more benefit than a smaller Vaishnava. That's the biggest basis for everyone.
Well, in one sense, in the Nectar of Instruction, Chapter 5, there's different kinds of Vaishnavas that we offer respect to in different ways. Anyone who just chants Hare Krishna, we respect in our mind. Those who are initiated and are worshiping the deity, we offer obeisances with our body. And like you said, the six Goswamis, Shankya, Purvaka, Namagan, and Natabi, they had, they measured how many rounds, how many this, how many obeisances, so they would pay obeisances to 1,000 Vaishnavas a day or whatever it was, 100 Vaishnavas a day. They would go around Govardhan Hill, the long way around, and they would measure these things. And they still had time. You know, these Sampradaya Acharyas and the six Goswamis were great literary output. They were great philosophers. Jiva Goswami wrote this incredible Sandarbhas, and they did this to really change the way the world understood the Vedic literatures. And they were important, powerful people. But in the Nectar of Instruction, verse 5, it says that those devotees who are completely free from envy and completely pure in heart, and Srila Prabhupada gives, in the purport, he gives some description of how we can see that some disciples are strictly following all the regular principles, chanting all their rounds, and they're always thinking of ways to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. He gives some indication of how we can recognize those devotees, and we should seek them out and faithfully serve them, according to Rupa Goswami. So, on the other hand, I asked the same question to Vaisheshika Das one time. What about just the ordinary devotees? Don't we get benefit from serving and worshiping them? And he said, I asked, what if we offend them? Is it the same as offending the great devotees? And he said, the great devotees, it's really different. That the great devotees are really different, and it's really special, that you shouldn't offend them, and you should certainly revere them. But he said that it's also, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami warns us about trying to make distinctions between great and small devotees. That devotee is a devotee that's absolute. One time I was giving a lecture somewhere at Stanford University, and I was speaking to all the people, and then I said something about, I was speaking about the Bhagavad Gita, and I said it was greater than inferior scriptures like the Bible. And I felt bad that I said that, because the absolute is absolute. These people have faith in the Bible, and I felt that I lost the audience a little bit too. So even the neophyte devotees, we should be very respectful. In fact, Krishna says that the pure devotees are dear to him because they don't cause any distress to anyone. They're the kind friend to all, and especially the devotees who we need so much to advance in devotional service. We should be very, very careful to respect devotees. It's from the devotees that anyone can learn about Krishna. And Krishna says that someone who says he's my devotee is not my devotee, but the servant of the servant. In fact, that's what Ramanujacharya may have prompted your question. One of his contributions was service to the Vaishnavas. So I hope I've answered your question.
And I can also comment on that topic, because we are in a line of disciplic succession, which begins with Lord Brahma. Our fortunate enough in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, we have accepted our initiations from Srila Prabhupada or his disciples. And every Vaishnava, once we give homage to such exalted personalities, they also merit from those pronouns that we give to these. So, in one sense, we are worshipping all Vaishnavas, everybody, anyone who is a devotee of Lord Krishna. If we offer obeisances to Sri Prabhupada, then he doesn't keep it for himself. He in turn passes it to his guru. His guru passes it to his guru. And it goes on and on and on. And every Vaishnava merit from these.
Jai. Correct. And we can see from the example of the gopis that they're addressing a deer, and they're they're respecting this deer, that you must have just seen Krishna, and they feel like the deer is more fortunate than them. This is the mood of the Vaishnavas, that we should respect all devotees. Someone else? It's 9 o'clock. Okay, let's have one more. I think we have to end at 9. We've been going a little over the last couple of days, but
one question from Mahatma Raja.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Well, in relation to deities, I just have this confusion about your question in my mind. Like as you said, today's appearance of Radha Damodar.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And Rupa Goswami personally confirmed. So when we actually embark in the Mahayana darshan of these deities, it doesn't look so beautiful like as I see in our Radha Shah or something. So, how the Mr. carve these deities? So, how we should see that beauty, or when we go to see the deities?
It's like I was saying, it's by the mercy of the spiritual master. If you had spiritual vision, like Lord Chaitanya would look at Lord Jagannath and then he would see Krishna in his playing a flute with his threefold bended form. So, when we have the vision, when we're imbued with devotion, then we'll see Krishna not like a statue, but actually, we'll see him in his true, he can move and he may be performing pastimes and he'll speak to us. Srila Prabhupada said early, he told us all, if you just follow these four regular principles and chant 16 rounds every day for the rest of your life, he said, how long are you going to live? Another 50 years or so? What's so hard with that? And if you do that, you will see Krishna and you will kiss Krishna, he said to us. There's no more questions now because we have to, I'm sorry, I see a lot of hands, but unless I have Panchagoda's permission, I think I have to end the class right now.
Well, put it on me now.
Well, I mean, I'd love to talk all day, but I'm sure.
We'll end now.
We'll end now. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Anyone who wants to talk to me can talk after.